Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the episode this week. It's Sunday afternoon. I'm doing this podcast at the 11th hour. I was supposed to do it a little while ago, and I didn't want to. Today was the day that we celebrated all the March birthdays in Fit Camp. So we went out to this beautiful place called Neverland Coffee Bar in North Miami. It's a group of buildings in like a little circle. And in the center is this little courtyard, and they have all of these kind of mismatched patio furniture, table and chairs and wind chimes and eclectic antiques sitting out, getting all rusty and weathered, and trees and foliage and music. And it's just a magical little place to sit and have a meal or coffee. And so we went up there this afternoon and it was so delightful. We had a little rainstorm yesterday that resulted in the most beautiful summer day today, low 70s, low humidity, sunshine. And so we sat outside and just had the best time with a few of our fit campers, some of their March birthdays. So it was so nice. I love this community. I know I talk about them a lot on this podcast, but I do so because it stands in stark contrast to a lot of the periods of time in my life. And I just hope that in hearing about Fit Camp, that those of you who are listening and who've listened for a long time, just understand every single time that life holds big, beautiful surprises, and you just never know what's around the corner. It's amazing. We've had a lot of new members, which has been really fun. I credit a lot of it to my husband. Roy takes amazing videos and photos during our classes, and then he's been doing a lot of reels on social media and boosting them into really great ads. We've been getting a lot of people coming and trying us out on our 1 week free trial. And once people come for a few classes and see how beautiful sunrise is and enjoy our amazing community and the people they get to work out with, it's awesome. A lot of people stay once they come a few times. So we just have a lot of really new energy, and it always just lights me up so hard. So it's been beautiful. So we did that today, and I had a nice time just relaxing, having a nice big meal. So I came home and I'm just like, bleh, I need a nap and I have to go lift. I haven't lifted today. And so I have to finish recording this episode and then go lift weights at the end of the day on a Sunday, which is the worst. But I decided I was going to do it. It's in my calendar. I have to check it off the box. And so I'm going to do it. And by then I will be excited about it. Speaking of that, I used to lift all the time and I loved it. And I have kind of developed a dread of lifting a lot of the time. And I don't really know what all of it is, but I know that for a long time I would lift at 5 a.m. and my friend Paige lived here in Miami and she would come over almost every morning and we would lift together. And so it was good accountability because if I couldn't oversleep, I couldn't dilly-dally, I had to get down there because she'd be there. And then it was fun. We lifted together and we had a lifting buddy. And now, I mean, Roy will lift with me and stuff, but it's just different. I don't know, like the girl time, the camaraderie, the account. If I tell Roy I don't want to lift, he's going to be like, okay. Like, he's not going to hold me accountable, unfortunately. That's not really his thing. Sometimes we lift with Danny, but anyway, I've developed this mental talk about lifting where I dread it. But then when I get down there, I love it. And so I realized I've just built up this stupid narrative in my head, making it this thing that I dread or I don't really want to do when really I actually really love it. And I'll be training a client and I'll think, man, I wish I could be lifting right now. And so I have to just work on my mental talk, like everything else. Just don't build up this thing of like, oh, I have to lift, I got to go. I just did it on this podcast. I just heard myself. So I'm excited that I have the opportunity to go lift weights later. There we go. I fixed it. It's been busy. Lots of personal training. It's the busiest I've ever been as a personal trainer. I've been getting new clients left and right. It's so much fun to train new people and see what they can do and watch people reach their goals. And, I've got clients coming to me right now that are in good shape or used to be in really good shape, and they have a lot of muscle memory. And so kind of people that want to be really pushed and really want to get back to where they were and then take it a step further. And so it's been challenging me in a different way, because I have a lot of clients that I've started out from zero, no fitness, up to where they are now. But I don't often get clients who are already in you know, really good shape and just need to push. It's not necessarily my demographic always. And so it's been so fun. And it's built my confidence as a trainer. And it's just, it's really rewarding. And it's really, really fun to train new people, to kind of like mix it up and be challenged. And it makes me have to go do some research on some new moves and get some more information when they have an injury or something we got to work around. So it's got me all lit up. And then I have a lot of new life coaching clients. And it's hard for me to like differentiate what I love the most, but I really love my routine in the morning. I train a lot of personal training clients. And then in the afternoons, many afternoons is calls with life coaching clients. So life coaching is fun because there's not necessarily a set format for the life coaching that I do. It's a lot of listening and asking the right questions and then giving tools. This week I had a new client who said to me at the end of our call, she said, you know, I've always been kind of the person who pours into other people and calls out their goodness and builds them up. But I haven't had people in my life lately who've done that for me. And I feel like at the end of this conversation, I just got that from you. And I was just overwhelmed. What a beautiful opportunity that I have, that I can call this my job. That, I mean, and I don't have a formula. She was talking and I could hear and get a picture of an understanding of her soul. And I got to just say, wow, this is what I see. And it was right. And she felt seen and validated and worthy. And it lit her up. And I got to do that. It was so great. I love it so much. I always loved accounting. But I always said, you know, I cannot count other people's money for the rest of my life. Like, I can't do it. It's great. It fits a big part of my personality. I love ticking and tying numbers and analytical, but I can't count other people's money, and I can't run payroll, and I can't do 401k contributions every other week for the rest of my life. I will die. And I'm grateful I got to do it, but I'm so grateful that I get to do quote unquote work, or I get to light people up. So anyway, just telling you all of that because listen, if there's something that you want to do, even if you have to do it part-time and never quit your day job, find a way to do it. Find a way to do the thing that lights your soul up. And if you can make money doing it, awesome. But even if you can't make money doing it, do it. If you can volunteer, if you can invest your time and energy to get that part of your soul to be alive and in charge, that's what makes this life thing the beautiful experience it is. Your soul wants to express and be imprinted. And you may not have the opportunity to leave your day job. You may have to be the breadwinner forever and work 90 hours a week. I don't really know. But if there's 10 minutes of your time available where you can let your soul blossom, do it. It's so worth it. So worth it. And you never know. It might turn into something that you could do as your day job too. I was writing about what I used to eat in a day when I was 400 pounds. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to put this in my fitness pal and find out how many calories I was eating in a day. 7,000 calories is what it came up with. I just put it in an average day. And I remember it because I repeated it almost every day. It was very rare that I ate differently. I've always been a rut eater. I like to eat the same things over and over again. And so it was easy. It's easy to remember. And so I just kind of went through the day. So my routine, when I was at my heaviest, I was married and I had my son in elementary school and I was in college. And so I had to drop my son off at his school. Then I went on to my school. I had a couple classes. Then I had some time off and then I had to go back for more classes. So I didn't go home between classes. It was too far. So I go back for afternoon classes and then I pick my son up. Then I go home. So in the morning, I would wake up, I'd wake my son up, get him ready for school. usually he and I would eat toaster strudels. So I love toaster strudels. I still love toaster strudels, even though I have no idea the last time I ate one. They're amazing. It's like a donut in the toaster. So I would have three toaster strudels usually, and he'd have one. So he'd have one toaster strudel, a normal serving. And then they came in little packs of two. So I'd make two for me, and then I'd make two for him, but I would eat one of them. So I'd have I didn't do that every day, but two to three toaster strudels. I logged two in my Fitness Pal when I did this. Then we get in the car, and on the way to the freeway, I would stop at the Burger King, and I would get two ham, egg, and cheese croissants or sausage, egg, and cheese croissants, depending. But they had hash browns that were the little round ones, and I didn't like them. So I didn't get hash browns, but I would drop Steven at school, and then I'd hit up a McDonald's after, because they have hash browns, which are the big patties, which I really like. So I would get two sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits and two hash browns there, and I'd just make it a meal and get me like a coffee or whatever. And then I'd end up at my school, and I would park and walk into class, and I would have two classes, and then maybe three, and then I had that time off. So I would go to a Chinese buffet, and I would take up a booth, and I'd spread all my stuff, and I would start working on my homework while I ate at the buffet. Because my husband only allowed me to go to college if my going to college didn't impact him. He believed that he had a full-time job and I did nothing. Therefore, everything in our life was my job. So cooking, cleaning, taking care of Steven, the lawn when we ended up getting a house, everything. He wanted to get up, go to work, come home, and have everything done. And so there was no way that he was going to be inconvenienced by me going to college. And if that was what I could promise, that I could go to college. So I had to make sure my homework was done for the most part, because at the end of the day, he also wanted me sitting in the living room watching TV with him. I couldn't study. I couldn't be in another room. That wasn't allowed. No, you have a family. He would say that. You have a family. You need to be with your family. Like, if I was in that other room, why aren't you in here with your family? He would say that all the time. So I would get some of my homework done in the morning between my class blocks. So I'd sit at a Chinese buffet, and I would love, they always had fried chicken wings. They had fried rice, lo mein. And then Chinese restaurants always have those little biscuit donuts rolled in sugar. And so I would eat those. And that was what I would do. Just plate after plate. I'd get full. I'd study. I'd have a little room in my belly. I'd go back up to the buffet for another round. I would just go back and forth, back and forth. It was super fun. And they always had an ice cream, soft serve ice cream thing. So I do that too. So then I go back to campus. I'd have a couple classes, and I'd be super sleepy from eating all that food. So I'd always stop and get a large white chocolate mocha, bring that into class with me. Couple classes, then I would have to go get my son and then go home. So I'd pick him up, and then it was like, oh, let's get a treat after school. And he loved Frosties from Wendy's. So I would stop at a Wendy's and get him a Frosty, and I would get myself a couple bacon double cheeseburgers, or maybe I would get a big chili with cheese and a big potato, which that would be a healthy day. And I loved dipping fries in a Frosty. So that was often what I did too. Sometimes though, when he got older, we'd stop at the gas station, Super America, and they had roller dogs, 2 for $2.22. So I would get a couple of big hot dogs and a big Slurpee, slushy. And then anyway, so then we get home, and there'd be a little bit of time before dinner. So I'd get a little housework done, cook dinner. My husband, he loved the same foods all the time. He was the world's most picky eater. Legitimately, I'm going to tell you what he would eat, and I'm not exaggerating. He would eat spaghetti with Prego sauce and meat. He would eat lasagna that I had to make with Prego sauce and cottage cheese. He would eat Kraft mac and cheese. He would eat Stouffer's cheese, French bread, frozen pizzas. He would eat Totino's party pizzas, Stouffer's frozen lasagna. He would eat Pizza Hut pizza, Olive Garden lasagna, Red Lobster, popcorn shrimp. That was about it. Maybe I missed. Oh, KFC, chicken legs only. Only chicken legs. And then if we ever went anywhere else, he'd get a burger with cheese and bread. Nothing else on it. That was it. That was it. There was nothing else. He would eat big bowls of cereal and junk food and stuff. But so for dinner, it was like one of those things. So I'd make dinner. Usually it was spaghetti, and I'd make garlic toast or something like that. So I would eat that with the family and then clean up the dishes, do the laundry, whatever, sit down in the living room to watch TV. So there was always TV every single night. And so I had to sit, watch TV. I had to. I mean, I didn't like mind it, but so then it was time to snack. So I loved Cheetos. Cheetos were my favorite. Usually a big bag of Cheetos. M&M's, peanut butter M&M's, my favorite. He would snack on things too, but he wasn't as big of an eater. He ended up pretty close to 300 pounds. He was, when we got married, he was 170. He was really skinny. And then he gained a lot of weight while I was pregnant and then continued to gain weight. But he leveled out. He went on like anti-anxiety medication too, which helped it, helped him gain weight, and no exercise and just garbage. And he drank a ton of Mountain Dew too. So we were both just unhealthy. But watch TV all night. And then the last hour of TV before it would start, I would get up and make like a pan of chocolate chip cookies or a pan of brownies, or I'd make a big plate of nachos for myself. And it was a final hurrah of food. So then he'd go to bed and I'd put, you know, Steven to bed somewhere in there. And then it was time for me to be able to do my homework. So I had to do homework when he was sleeping. So I'd write papers or do more homework because I had a lot of homework. I was a full-time college student getting an accounting degree. It was a pretty big load. By the time I was as heavy as I was, that was my junior or senior year. And so it was a lot. And so my favorite thing to do would be I would get a carton of ice cream. My favorite was Breyers strawberry. And then I had golden Oreos. And I would take an Oreo and use that to scoop a big scoop of ice cream, like a spoonful. And then I pop it in my mouth and eat that. And so I would eat the ice cream scoop by scoop on an Oreo. And it was amazing. And if I didn't get the Breyers strawberry, I would get Ben and Jerry's pina colada. So good. And if I didn't have the Oreos, I would just get a half gallon of ice cream. I really like Rocky Road or something with a caramel swirl, cookies and cream. Donnie really liked cookies and cream ice cream, so we had that a lot. So, and then I would finish my homework and go to bed. And I'd do it all over again. And so that was like 7,000 to 9,000 calories a day. It's crazy. I felt so exhausted. I was so lethargic. I was barely awake. Drank a lot of caffeine, and I drank a lot of Mountain Dew. I drank a lot of coffee. I had no energy, and I can see why. When I logged all of that and just saw how much fat and sugar, it's just, it's amazing that I wasn't sicker. It's amazing that it didn't affect my health more, but I managed to skate through it without getting a lot of comorbidities. It's crazy. I looked at what I ate yesterday. I don't log my food all the time, but most of the time. And I had 5 hard-boiled eggs and a couple pieces of bacon. And then I had a prime protein. I had a creamy. So I made a used the Ninja Creamy to make protein ice cream, which is a scoop of protein powder, beef isolate, almond milk, and half a banana. That was my lunch. And then I had made some ground beef with some taco seasonings. And I ate that with half an avocado on it. That was my dinner. And I had an apple. And I had some sweet potato with some butter on it. So that's what I ate the day that I wrote all of this down. And I was like, I loved everything I ate. I didn't have any sugar. Didn't have any processed foods. I had energy. I got up at 4 a.m., I read, I meditated, I didn't meditate, I read, I wrote, I worked out in the gym for an hour, I ran a boot camp, and then I worked, I think I had 11 clients in a row, and then I went to bed tired and happy, but I wasn't lethargic, I had energy to do all of that, and I ate real food, and I didn't think twice about it, and that's a miracle. To go from how I used to live to how I live now, and it's normal. I'm telling you, it's a proof that everyone can do anything that they want to do with enough time, learning, persistence, attacking the problems one at a time. You can get there. I swear to you, I'm living it. And some people say, I just want to be free to eat whatever I want. And I was writing this and I was thinking, I wasn't free to eat whatever I want. I was eating whatever I want. But I was a slave to eating everything I wanted. I didn't know how to stand up and walk away and be okay. I was a slave to eating whatever I wanted. And now I eat whatever I want. And what I want is food that makes me feel good. That's the transformation. The transformation is not in what I eat. It's in what I want to eat. And that has come through learning, implementing time. You can't change everything permanently overnight, and you don't have to, but it's changeable. It is. And you may be hopelessly addicted to sugar or junk food or whatever it is. And I'm telling you, there is freedom. And it's never just one thing, bam, a miracle strikes you. It's the willingness to start and try with one thing, just one thing. Learn why. When you understand why you're doing something, it makes it easier to do it when it's hard. You know, I've really educated myself in the last year about, and I'm still learning, about sugar and my gut and the bacteria in my gut and the dangers of processed food. And as I learn something, it makes it so much easier to turn down that thing. You know, it's like seed oils. Now that I understand how dangerous they are to my cells, to my longevity, and how damaging they are, when I see like, oh, that looks delicious, that French fry. Well, it's fried in seed oils. Okay, well, it's still delicious, but maybe I don't want a whole serving of those now. Maybe I'm okay with a couple, or maybe I can say no this time. Now that I understand, and that's really helpful to arm yourself with the why, not only like, why do you want to feel better, but why is this thing that I'm compelled to eat, why is this something that I should walk away from, that I should seek to be free from the compulsion to eat this? It's possible. I just want to encourage you that wherever you are in your nutrition, wherever you are in your journey, you can take one little tiny step and commit to it and be a little bit healthier for the rest of your life. I started getting healthier by just simply doing some swaps that I knew to do. Instead of the Chinese buffet, I went to a Mongolian barbecue, which you could make this big pile of food, and it was vegetables and meat, and they would stir fry it for you and serve it to you on rice or cellophane noodles. Well, I was able to get really full and eat for a long time, which is the behavior that I really wanted, but I cut those calories way down from chicken wings and fried donuts at the Chinese restaurant. Same with the cookies and the ice cream at night. I went to light ice cream. I stopped eating the cookies all the time. Just maybe do it every other time. And I went from sausage on my breakfast sandwiches to ham. And then I started taking half of the bun off, or, you know, not getting two, just getting one. Things that were really hard in the moment to just take a step back. But once I took a step back enough times, it stuck. And that's really the key. So I just want to give you some hope that it's all relative, and wherever you're starting from, you can make a change a little bit closer to ideal. I was 27. It was 2005 when I was at my heaviest. And so that's, 19, almost 20 years ago. That's a long time. But you know, I had 20 years of building those bad habits one step at a time. I started eating in secret and in my bed and overeating when I was around 9 years old. And so we're talking almost 20 years of building bad habits. But you can kick the record player and get that needle out of the groove and start on a different groove. And it's not easy, but it's doable, and it can become your lifestyle. It can become your life. I'm living proof of that. So persist. You are worth looking back and seeing your darkest moments and just compare to where you are and note every single thing that's better as your proof and your evidence in your life that you've grown, that you've moved forward, that you've overcome, that even if it's not the progress you wanted, it's progress. And be encouraged by what you've already done. Life is so short, you guys. And it's so worth it. Freedom. Last night, I was going to a birthday party. And I don't really like shopping. So I buy all my stuff on Amazon. Like, I'll just go on there and I'll type in, like, I really like a fit and flare cut. I like something that's a little bit snug on my waist because I don't really have a waist. And then I want it to flare out. I don't like anything hugging my hips or my butt. And so fit and flare. So I just go fit and flare. And then I like strapless. I like things that are just strapless. I just do. It's hot here and I don't really like, I like strapless. I don't know. So I go fit and flare strapless and a bunch of stuff pops up and I'll just order one. And if I like it, I'll order it in all the colors. And so I had these two dresses that I really liked that I hadn't been able to wear because I bought them when I was on prep for bodybuilding and I'm, I don't know, 15 pounds heavier. And I was like, man, I miss wearing those. And, but I'm never going to lose 15 pounds to fit into them. I'm never going to be that size again. And I was bummed. I thought, hey, Kristen, why don't you just order them again in a bigger size? There's a brilliant idea. So I did. And so I ordered like 5 colors because I love it. So they came. So I have a stack of these dresses. They're size medium and they fit. And so I was going to this birthday party and I got in the elevator. I'd put on one of the pink ones. And I took a look at the invitation to just double check the address. And I noticed at the top, it said white party. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I was in the elevator in a pink dress. So I hit my floor, went right back up. The Uber was on its way, 2 minutes away. Went in my closet, found the stack of new dresses, shook one out, sprayed some Downy wrinkle releaser on it, zipped it up, left, was downstairs when my Uber arrived. And I thought, there is no piece of cake that tastes as good as it feels to just open a dress, put it on my body, know that it fits, know that it's going to look good, and walk out the door. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's freedom. Freedom to put clothes on my body that I feel good in, that I can order off Amazon. And I mean, obviously, not everything flatters everybody. But when you think that it's too hard to put down the Oreo and make the better choice the first time, remember, the payoff is freedom in ways that you're going to love. You already know what the Oreo tastes like. I already know what golden Oreos taste like covered in strawberry ice cream. It's delicious. I didn't know what it felt like to order a dress on Amazon, zip it up, get in the elevator and leave and look good. I didn't know what that felt like. I'm so glad I traded the Oreos with strawberry ice cream for the feeling of zipping up a dress and walking out the door. It was a really good trade. So if you need motivation to make those swaps, to drop those things that are stealing, to drop the excuses that you're relying on that are stealing everything that you want, think about the things that you haven't experienced yet. Set down things that you already know what it's like and work hard to get the things that you want that you haven't experienced yet. I had no idea. No idea how great it was going to be to live a life where I didn't have to be a slave to the time and the money. Oh my gosh, someone pointed out to me the other day, how much money did you spend on food? I'm like, well, clearly a lot. It was probably as much as I spend now on food, except adjusted for inflation. Food is expensive. All right, I'm rambling. This is what I do. I ramble at the end of podcasts. All of this to say, be encouraged that change is possible. Change is inevitable if you pick one thing, change it. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.